Welcome to the Watchman Radio Hour, coming to you from Portland, Oregon, here in the beautiful Northwest. This is David Schulte, your announcer. The Watchman Radio Hour is a production of Watchman Radio Ministries International, an evangelistic ministry reaching out to the peoples of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now here's our speaker, Alex Dotson, to bring you this week's message from God's Word.
For our scripture reading today, let us turn to the book of Revelation, and we'll begin reading in verse 17 of chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17. Let us hear the word of God. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead, and then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Bible that you have given to us. We thank you that it's your infallible word, and that we can put our full confidence in everything that it says. Now, O Father, we pray that you will send forth your Holy Spirit in great convicting power. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Recently, our beloved dog Blackie passed away. We had raised him from a puppy of 3 months to the time of his death at 13 and a half years. His death helped me to realize that life is only temporary, and that we are, in a sense, living in the shadowlands. That is, we're living in a temporary place. Life is temporal. It's not forever, and it will end. Blackie had been a wonderful dog and a faithful companion, and it was difficult to see him go away in death. He will always live in our hearts as we remember him. Death takes people away from us. It will eventually take us away as well. Death is common to all men. No one is exempt from it. Yet there was one who overcame death. He died, but he came back to life, and he never died again. That's what Easter is all about. There have been people like Lazarus who died and was raised up, but he also died again. Jesus Christ died, and he came back to life, and he ever lives. He never died again. Easter celebrates that great fact. Jesus died, he rose again, and he ever lives. Our text is Revelation 1 and verse 18, which says, "I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." Jesus delivers from death. All of us will experience death at some point. Some die young, others die old, yet we will all have to experience it. Death, however, is won. Death is won over in the resurrection, which all who are believers in Christ Jesus will experience. It will be a resurrection to life eternal. And so today we want to talk about that resurrection and how we can be sure to experience it. Let us see in the first place that Jesus is the living one. Again, our text says, "I am the living one." He was dead. Jesus did die. He died on the cross. There were eyewitnesses that saw it all take place. He died. He was buried in a tomb. It was a real death. Simon Kistemaker, in commenting on this passage, writes, "Jesus personifies life, and at the same time he can say, 'I was dead.' He refers to his sacrificial death on Calvary's cross, where he conquered death for the sake of those held in the fear of death. He speaks of an historical event when his body was lying lifeless in the tomb outside the city of Jerusalem. The contrast is telling. For the one who is life permits his body to submit to death. What he restores is a physical body that suffered death so that it could never die again. John Wolford, in his commentary, writes, "The expression was dead is literally become dead, the state of death, in contrast to his being alive from eternity past and living on into eternal future. His death was now past. He was dead. He had experienced it fully." Peter tells the crowd at Pentecost in Acts 2:22-23, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. Yet he did not stay in this state of death. He came alive forevermore." Romans 6:9 says, "For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. He rose from the dead forever, never to die again." Simon Kistemaker, again commenting on this passage, writes, He's the living one. In contrast to all the gods of paganism, note he does not now say that he is alive, but that he is the living one who possesses eternal life. He is the giver of life, and the life he gives is eternal. John Wolford writes, "He, as the eternal one, he is the one who lives, present tense, lives continually, who in time died and in resurrection is alive forevermore. As the one who conquered death, he has the keys of hell and of death. The emphasis is that he is alive for eternity unto eternity. He has defeated death forever. Secondly, he holds the keys of death and Hades." Again, our text says, "I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." He was sovereign over death and Hades. He holds the keys of death and Hades. He is sovereign over them both. He has conquered them both, and he has power over them both. Hades can mean grave. It also can simply mean the place of the dead, or in some instances it means a place of punishment, such as in the parable about Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man was in Hades in torment, while Lazarus was with Abraham in a place of comfort and safety. In this verse, it probably just means the place of the dead. Jesus is sovereign over death and its place. William Hendrickson writes, "Christ, too, had been put to death. But he had arisen from the dead, glorious comfort for all those who were being persecuted unto death. Their living souls would join the ever-living Christ. He has the keys of death, that is, authority and power over death, so that death cannot injure the believer, but is to be considered gain for the kingdom. Hence also for the believer, not only has the Son of Man the keys of death, but also of Hades. Had he not himself been in Hades? In Acts 2:27-31, behold, thou wilt not leave my soul unto Hades, neither wilt thou give thy Holy One to see corruption." And then he goes on to write, "It is evident that the term Hades, as here used, cannot mean hell, nor can it indicate the grave. It signifies the state of disembodied existence. It refers to the state of death, which results when life ceases and when body and soul separate. Hence, Hades always follows death, as in Revelation 6:8. But Hades was not able to hold the Son of Man. He arose gloriously. Hence, he now has authority over death in Hades. And from their terrors, he is able to deliver believers through the power of his resurrection. Does not the Son of Man reveal that he has the keys of death whenever he welcomes the soul of a believer into heaven? And does he not prove that he has the keys of Hades when at his second coming he reunites the soul and body of the believer, a body now gloriously transformed? What a wonderful comfort for persecuted believers, some of whom were soon to lay down their lives for the cause of the gospel. Matthew Henry says this, "Here he acquaints him first with his divine nature, the first and the last. Secondly, with his former sufferings. I was dead, the very same that his disciples saw upon the cross, dying for the sins of men. Thirdly, with his resurrection and life, I live and am alive forevermore, have conquered death and opened the grave, and am partaker of an endless life. Fourthly, with his office and authority, I have the keys of hell and of death, a sovereign dominion in and over the invisible world, opening the gates of death when he pleases in the gates of the eternal world of happiness or misery as the judge of all from whose sentence there is no appeal." And John Wolford comments, "The statement that he has the keys of hell and of death implies that he is sovereign over physical death, which terminates life in this world, as well as over Hades, the life after death. The Greek word Hades, commonly translated hell, refers to the intermediate state and is to be distinguished from the lake of fire or Gehenna, which refers to the eternal state." Wolford again says, "In his death and resurrection, Christ wrested from Satan any authority the devil may have had over death. In some texts, the order is reversed to read and have the keys of death and hell. As Christ possesses the key or authority over death, no man can die apart from divine permission, even though afflicted by Satan and in trial and trouble. As the one who is in authority over Hades, Christ is sovereign over the life to come." And then let us see that he delivers from death. Because he is sovereign over death and Hades, Jesus can deliver us from death. In Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15, it says, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Jesus, by his death on the cross, has destroyed the power that Satan had over death. He no longer has that power. Since Jesus has won victory over death, he now is sovereign over death and can deliver us from death. Thirdly, our own resurrection is assured because of Jesus' resurrection. Because he lives, we shall live. In John 14:19, it says, "Before long the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live." And then in John 11, verse 17, it says, "On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. 'Lord,' Martha said to Jesus, 'if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha answered, 'I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.' And Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?' 'Yes, Lord,' she told him. 'I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world.' In Jesus is life. In him is the resurrection. That is, if we believe on Jesus, we will be raised from the dead just as he was. In 1 Corinthians 15:20, it says, 'But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep.' Jesus went first. He has prepared the way for us. Because he was raised from the dead, so we also will be raised from the dead if we believe on him. Jesus is the giver of life. In him is life, and he gives life to all who come to him in faith. In John 6:33, it says, 'For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.' Jesus came down from heaven to give life to all who would accept him. He gives life today to all who will believe on him. This life is not a temporary life. It is resurrection life. It is eternal life. Just as he rose from the dead and lives forevermore, so shall we who trust in him rise from the dead unto eternal life. In 1 John 5:11-12 it says, "This is the testimony, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life." It's as simple as that. If we have the Son, we have life. And that includes the resurrection of our bodies to eternal life. If we don't have the Son, we don't have that life. The one who refuses the Son and does not believe on him will not have life. He will not have eternal life. The message of Easter is that Jesus has life. And we can have that life also if we will come to him in repentance and faith. All who reject this message of Easter will perish in their sins. They will not have life. In the spirit of the Reformation study Bible, it says, "Christ's resurrection and new life provide for the new life of his people and the renewal of the world itself." Henry Morris writes, "The bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead guarantees the fulfillment of all God's promises concerning our own salvation, resurrection, and everlasting life. Because I live, he said, ye shall also." We can know that we shall be raised from the dead because Jesus lives. The tomb did not remain occupied, it became empty. And because the tomb was empty, we can live. Our tomb will also be empty one day because Jesus lives. We must believe that with all our heart. Because Jesus lives, we will live. And then we can look forward to that great resurrection day, to that great day when we will be resurrected from the dead. It will be a great reunion day as well as we join together with loved ones in that great resurrection. It will be on the last day. In John 11:24, Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." She was right. She knew the scriptures. The book of Daniel taught plainly that there would be a resurrection day. In Daniel 12:2, it says, "Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life and others to shame and everlasting contempt." In Daniel 12:13, it says, "As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance." And so the angel said to Daniel, after he had received his great prophecies, "Get on with the rest of your life. Then you will die and rest, and then at the last day you will be raised up and receive your inheritance." The Old Testament clearly taught the resurrection at the last day. Martha knew this, and so she could tell Jesus that Lazarus would be raised at the last day. This is something that we all look forward to as believers in Jesus. We look forward to the last day. Jesus always talked about the last day. In John 6:39-40, Jesus said, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Notice Jesus joins together eternal life and being raised up at the last day. It is that great resurrection day that is our hope. We must look forward to that day. There's so much emphasis on the rapture in popular evangelical teaching today. However, that's not the emphasis here in the Bible. The emphasis is on the resurrection at the last day. The word rapture is not even in the Bible. The great resurrection day is also mentioned in John 5:28-29. Where Jesus says, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned." The resurrection will come, and those who have followed the Lord in faith and repentance will live, and those who have not will be condemned at the judgment. There will be some who will be alive when the resurrection day comes, but they will not precede those who have already died in rising up to meet the Lord when he comes. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verses 13 through 18, it describes what will happen on that day. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Again, the emphasis is resurrection, not rapture. Those who have died rise up first and are joined by those who are still alive. They go up together to be with the Lord. Another passage that describes the resurrection is 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 50, where it says, I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. And when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. The emphasis in this passage, again, is the resurrection and victory over death. Those who are still alive will not precede those who have died. The dead come to life, and those still alive are changed and joined them. It is that great resurrection at the last day that is our hope as Christians. We look forward to the coming of the Lord at the last day, and our being raised from the dead to be with the Lord forevermore. Now let me ask you, are you ready for the great resurrection day? Will you rise to life, or will you rise to condemnation? The promise is given to all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that they will have a resurrection to life. Jesus is life and gives life to all who trust in him. I invite you to trust in him today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus Christ, for sending him to die on the cross for our sins. And we thank you that he was buried, but that he rose again from the dead. And because he rose from the dead, we also will rise from the dead on the resurrection day. And we thank you for that. And we look forward to that great day, O Lord Jesus, when you shall come out of the heavens, and when there will be a great resurrection to take place, and we will all join together to meet you in the air. O Lord Jesus, O Lord Jesus, we look forward to that day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We hope this week's broadcast has been a blessing to you. If you have any questions about Mr. Dodson's message, please write us. You may email us at info@watchmanradio.org. Our mailing address is Watchman Radio Ministries International, Post Office Box 13251, Portland, Oregon, 97213. That's Watchman Radio Ministries International, Post Office Box 13251, Portland, Oregon, 1-800-273-9713. You may listen to this broadcast at any time on the internet at www.oneplace.com. In the list of ministries, just select the Watchman Radio Hour. This week's program and previous programs are always available there for listening. Thanks for listening to the Watchman Radio Hour. We invite you to come again next week to hear another timely message from God's Word. We are Watchman Radio Ministries International, reaching out to the peoples of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ.